Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Subscribe on iTunes at Toddcast Podcast.
Thank you for taking some time here to join us, Sean.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, not at all, man. No worries. I'm just around the house just doing odds and ends anyway. So it's kind of any time that worked for you was good for me. So how's your world right now with COVID and everything? You must be like me, dying for it to be over and fucking get on with normal everyday life.
Yeah, I mean, it is over. I mean, I don't know. Anyone that says it isn't over is crazy as far as I'm concerned. Like,
right.
I mean, Canada, I don't know. I mean, it's just unbelievable how they fucked this thing up. It's wild. It's
insane, man. Like, they just a couple of days ago announced that, you know, we're now allowed to outside, like at a park or whatever, we can meet up with like 10 people. Like, you want to go see a fucking rock show, dude? That's not happening.
But like, what changed between a month ago, like 10 people? I mean, they don't even have the vaccine. So I don't even understand what they're basing anything.
Have the vaccine, and that there's going to be, I think that that a prime minister had said like something like a million vaccines are going to be delivered weekly for the next 10 weeks or something.
Right. Right.
Who's coming? It's coming around. But anyway,
Dude,
I'm curious, what's your first hockey memory?
Man, first hockey memory. I think, I think I've told this story before, but like when I was younger, the first NHL game that I ever saw was, I saw an exhibition game. The Quebec Nordiques played, I'm not sure who they played, but the game was in Kitchener, Ontario, at the Kitchener Auditorium. And first NHL player I ever saw, I waited by the bus after the game with my dad. And Owen Nolan was walking out. The reason we were there, my dad played for the coach at the time was this guy by the name of Dave Chambers. And hockey cards were big back then. So I knew who Owen Nolan was. And I walked up to him to get an autograph. And he kind of looked at me, and I can still like remember it clear as day. He was like, yeah, he looked down at me and kind of put his hand up and said, "Fuck off, kid, not today." Like, he must have had like a shitty, it was exhibition, you know, who knows? He was probably hungover or just disinterested. And that was kind of the first memory that I had of like seeing an NHL player in person. And it was funny, I think 10 years later, it's probably 10 or 11 years later, I played against him and we lined up on a face-off and I told him that story and we had a pretty good laugh about it.
Yeah, that's great. Great first memory. And how old are you when you realize like maybe I can go pro, I can go all the way?
I think when I was probably 13 or 14, I probably made the decision that was the only thing I was going to do. Mm. I don't think in my mind I was thinking I have what it takes. I think I had just more the mentality of like I was going to play in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And that kind of took, you know, I look back on it and say I should have done some things differently. Like, I basically stopped any interest I had in school whatsoever and only thought and focused about hockey. But yeah, I think I made the decision more than I realized I could do it, which I think are kind of two different things.
Oh, two completely different things, of course. Yeah, and playing with the Red Wings and the Kings, the Stars, the Rangers. Which team was your favorite to play on?
I think it's a definitely New York, but also Detroit was pretty special because one, that team in 2002, I think was probably maybe the best NHL team ever assembled just from a pure talent standpoint. Mm-hmm. 12 or 13 Hall of Famers, guys like, you know, Dominic Hasek, like interesting guys that was a hell of a team. And then I was so young to be introduced to the league in that fashion, just from the pace of practices and how the guys dressed and how they talked and everything. It was pretty special. And then obviously I think when I got to New York, that was sort of what felt home from a playing standpoint. I think my style kind of meshed with the fans of New York. And so, yeah, I think I'd say it was a toss up between those two cities.
And just playing in the rink in New York must have been just like electric every time, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, before they did the renovation, I think it was definitely the best arena in the league. I think now it's still, you know, it's Madison Square Garden. I think like even on a Monday night at MSG, you walk in that place and you can feel it has a special vibe to it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean, I'm getting ready to talk to you this morning. And I realized that you had over 1500 penalty minutes.
Really? I didn't know that.
What's the most memorable 10 minutes for you?
Oh boy. Man, I think there was a game in Chicago where at the end of it was sort of at the end of a shift, I got into a scrum with Bob Probert and I kind of took a shot at him, like a cheap shot that I shouldn't have. And I remember going into the penalty box and thinking, like, I wish I could just stay here for the rest of the game and not have to come back out of there. Because I knew, like, I saw his eyes kind of glaze over and I thought he was going to kill me. So at that point I was thinking if I could just stay in the box the whole game, I wouldn't have to come back out. That's probably the one time where I can really remember sitting in there pondering life.
Yeah. The longest 2 minutes of your life. Sean, when I mentioned that you were going to be a guest of the podcast, of course, there's a ton of podcast followers that would love to ask you some questions as well. So I grabbed a few of the best ones. Yeah. I think this is interesting because I want to know as well. Brandon wants to know, what are the best and worst locker room pranks that you were involved in?
Man, I wasn't much of a prankster, but there was always one guy on each team. Now, we used to do these things on the road called leaners, which is you'd fill a garbage pail up with like a hotel garbage pail up with water, hot water, and you would take it and you'd lean it on the outside of somebody's door and you'd do the whole like knock on the door. And when they open the door, it would lean into their room and it would soak the whole front of their landing. That was always like sort of a classic one that I kind of thought was, I enjoyed it. I didn't like the ones when guys, you know, you get your laces cut, shit like that. That was always, I didn't like ones where sometimes guys would cut guys' sticks. So they'd go out and they'd take a shot and like fall over because the stick was already cut in half.
Yeah. That's just annoying.
Yeah, exactly. But the leaners were always good ones.
Yeah. Brad wants to know, what do you think about the no fans in the stands, the fake crowd noise?
Yeah, I mean, I think just in general, it's got to be pretty tough to play with no fans. I think I didn't know that they were pumping it into the arenas. I've only seen it on TV, so I thought they were doing it through the TV. Yeah, I don't know. I just think in general, the whole no fans thing is tough. Like, I kind of commend these guys that they've been able to play through it with some sort of intensity. I don't think it's an easy thing to do for sure.
Yeah. No, I know it must be weird for them as well. Cause obviously the crowd kind of gets you fired up, right? If you get that great goal or like, you know, a great save or one of those, you know, it's just weird.
Yeah. No, crowds are sometimes like the, you know, your seventh man or sixth man, like, they can win games and lose games for teams, but yeah, it's got to be weird. Hopefully it doesn't last much longer.
Yeah. Well, I know that some U.S. teams are letting some fans in now, but Rob goes, man, I disliked his antics, but ask him about how he feels about a rule being named after him. And what did the NHL say to him about what he did to distract Brodeur?
So, yeah, they never said anything to me, actually. They,
oh, lost your video there. There you go.
I woke up, I went to bed that night after it happened, and I woke up in the morning and they had just kind of announced the rule, which I think looking back on it, or even at the time, it wasn't even really legal. They weren't allowed to do that. You had to go to the Board of Governors meeting, to get approval to do it. And they hadn't done that. So, I think that was kind of, it was more shocking than anything. Like, literally, I went to bed that night and woke up in the morning and they had already sent out a press release saying that there was this new rule. So, I think it's definitely, I've got a rule named after me, you know.
It's pretty awesome.
I don't know if it's still there or if they still refer to it as the Avery rule, but even if they change the name, I think we all know where the origin of it for sure.
Yeah, that ain't going away. This feels like a loaded question. Sarah wants to know, what's your best Tortorella story?
Tortorella story. I always tell people, like, the way, so Tortorella can't skate. He can't skate or pass, or he definitely can't do both at the same time. So sometimes there's a drill, a warm-up drill that teams do. Coaches are on on the dot outside the blue line, and everyone just kind of skates around. You pass to the coaches pass it back to you, you go in, you take a shot on the goalie. So anytime Tortorella was doing that, I would just lean into it, fire like a hard zinger of a pass to him. And it was everything he could do to just take the pass and stay on his feet and then make the pass back to me. It was kind of like an ongoing joke that everyone knew, like, they'd stop and watch, like, what kind of pass I was going to give him. But yeah, he was one of, I've had a few coaches that couldn't actually play hockey, which I think is sort of, odd. Yeah, that's a tough one. It's odd. Definitely. Yeah. That's for sure.
You know, when Torts was a coach here in Vancouver, he was fun, man. He was fun to watch press conferences, and just the way he held himself was not like a regular coach. I don't know if that's just like what? A bystander's view of that, or.
Yeah. I forgot he coached in Vancouver. Was that.
Wasn't very long, like maybe a couple, 2-3 seasons.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, yeah, I always had fun with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Derek wants to know, he goes, hey, ask Buddy what happened a few weeks back, out for a jog, smashed off some guy's car mirror. I saw that on TMZ. What happened there?
Yeah, I don't know. Some guy just drove into my arm and you know, weird. I've got these big, I still have pretty big forearms. They're really not that big, but I think, I don't know. I'm an avid runner now. So, you get out on the streets in Hollywood, I don't even know if you call them streets, but they're tight and they're windy. So you got to keep your head up, keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah, no kidding. Eh? Graham wants to know, how did he end up getting a role in Tenet?
Tenet was just the standard traditional audition process. My agent sent me an audition. I got the sides. It was funny. I originally auditioned, and I think 6 or 7 months went by and I hadn't heard anything. So I never assume anything. I try and just forget about it. But then I got a call back saying, they want you to read again, audition for it again, which I did. And then I ended up getting the part, but, what's interesting about those movies, for those big movies, like, normally you don't get the actual sides. They give you dummy sides. So they just give you a side, like audition sides from some other movie. So you don't even really know what you're auditioning for. because they keep the script quiet and secret and that whole thing. So, but yeah, that was just a traditional, you know, normal run-of-the-mill audition that turned out to be something that was pretty cool.
That's interesting. Is that something you think you might maybe travel down that road a little bit more in the future, or?
Yeah, I mean, I just finished doing a movie last week. Yeah, I'm like a working actor. Like that's really the only thing that I'm focusing on right now. You're working as long as you're, I guess I'm an unemployed actor today, and tomorrow hopefully I'm an employed actor. But no, that's really taken up the most of my time.
Oh, that's great, man. That's a very cool bounce from pro sports. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trevor wants to know, he goes, ask him what he thinks about hockey culture in general. Trust me, he'll have a lot to say.
I mean, I think that's kind of like I think the culture of the game, you know, it's tough. Like, I don't know, because I'm not really around it. You know, what I get from the game is the same as everyone gets now from a fan standpoint. Like, I have all my friends that I still have relationships with now are either running teams or, you know, working for teams. So, I mean, I think the culture is, I don't know. I think it's sort of bland. I don't really know what the culture is. I think it's much different from when I played. But yeah, I wish I could give a more exciting answer, but I think it's sort of a little bit boring. Really?
Yeah. Do you think that they're going to get rid of fighting completely?
I don't think that they'll ever be able to do that. I think that would be like, I don't know, taking away the free throw. I mean, I think it's impossible to take it away. I don't think there's any upside to taking it away. I think it would increase, you know, dangerous situations in another form. And it doesn't really even happen that much now anyway. So I don't think it's something I don't think that they'll take it away now.
No, I mean, it's not as much as part of the game as when you were playing, especially, I mean, you go back in the 80s and shit where there was enforcers and like, you don't fucking touch Gretzky because, you know, you're going to get it or whatever. Right. There's not much much of that anymore, but here's another loaded question. And I laughed when I saw this video you posted a couple, 3 weeks back, maybe. Marty goes, what does he think of Tyson Berry? That video you posted, dude, was hilarious.
Tyson Berry. Oh God. I don't even know. What did I say about Tyson Berry?
Just how much of what a piece of shit he was, like that he can't play hockey. Fuck, I wish I remember the exact quotes you were saying. Some of it was like just laugh out loud hilarious, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he was, I actually don't even really know him really much as a player. I know that he played for the Leafs. I don't even know he plays for Vegas now or Colorado?
Vegas.
One of those two. Vegas, yeah. Maybe yeah, I think what people have a tough time understanding sometimes is my sense of humor. Like, I'm not necessarily as vested in the topics that it may seem to be. So Tyson Berry was maybe the punchline day, but
he was the hitman that night. Exactly. Right.
You
could tell that the video was you're watching the game. And you're like, fuck, I can't believe this guy. This is the quality. This is the caliber of player that really, like, I think that was kind of what it was. But
yeah,
Craig wants to know, he goes, doesn't he have the fastest goal scored by a Ranger on home ice, like 10 seconds or something? Does that still stand?
I don't know if it still stands, but I think it was at some point. It was at one point. Yeah, the fastest goal at home. At home, I don't think ever
on home ice.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I think it's still there.
Yeah, short season. Mike goes super early to call, but who do you like to take the cup this year?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a Leafs fan since I was 12 years old. I keep I keep thinking it might be a mirage, but I don't know. I feel like they might be the real deal. Like they're starting to play hard and in tougher games. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I think it is. Clearly, it is too early. I do think the Leafs have a shot. I really do. I think they're starting to mature into like a real team, and those guys are starting to understand what it takes to win. I think adding a guy like Thornton was a smart move.
Big time.
But yeah, no, I'd love to see the Leafs win. Just for the fans in Toronto who have been tortured by them for a long time, I think that'd be pretty amazing.
No kidding. You know, I recently had, Eddie Lack?
Eddie Lack. Yeah.
So I had Eddie on maybe about a couple, 3 weeks back. And he'd said the same thing that, you know, he's like, as much as I don't want to say it, Toronto looks so good that, you know, even then, like that's just three weeks, a month back, he was calling it then. Just like, it's just the team, something about that team this year, they're just shining.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's just timing. And like, you know, I don't know. I think a couple of pieces they put into the puzzle. I think they got a good shot for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean, love to get outside of hockey just for a little bit with you and kind of get to know you a little bit more. What was the music in the Avery house as a kid growing up? What are your parents playing?
A lot of Canadian bands like Lighthouse and the Guess Who and the band. I remember a lot of Lighthouse. That was a big one.
Like the classic Canadiana. Did you get into like the Trooper and Chilliwack and all that too, or?
No, I think they kept it. My dad was a big, and then maybe, you know, as I started getting older, like Blue Rodeo but early on, it was like, I have vivid memories of a lot of Lighthouse, some Gordon Lightfoot maybe mixed in. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was your first concert?
My first concert was a Blue Rodeo concert in Halifax, Nova Scotia, I think 1994, I believe. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're always really good band. Like even present day, these guys are really impressive live. They're one of those bands that, you know, they pop around. It's different guys singing songs. It's not just one lead singer.
Yeah. No, Blue Rodeo is a great, solid show. Like, I don't think you're going to get a bad Blue Rodeo set from those guys. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they get
a few times
getting older now, but back then they were still, 94. I definitely think, it was a fun show.
Yeah, definitely. What have you been binge watching over the last little while? What are the shows you can't get enough of?
I watched The Servant on Apple. It's M. Night Shyamalan show. It's pretty good. Second season's a little slowed down a little bit. Some good movies, The Sound of Metal, this Darius Marder movie. It's on Amazon with it's really good. That's a good one for people to watch.
That's not a documentary, is it?
No, it's a feature with the supporting actor, this guy Paul Racy. He just got nominated. He's like 80 years old. He's kind of been a journeyman actor for a long time. It's a really good movie. Yeah, Sound of Metal.
Hmm. Did you get into the superhero movies, X-Men, Wonder Woman, and all that?
No, I started on WandaVision. I just couldn't. didn't bite with me.
Yeah, the WandaVision, I'm a pretty big comic book fan. I've always kind of gotten into that world. But even for me as a big fan of that genre, it took a few episodes to kind of get into the WandaVision. But it's good, Matt. If you give it a few episodes, it's pretty good. It changes completely from the first episode. It's not even remotely what it is by midpoint.
Right.
Completely
right.
Different. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Sean, man, thank you again for doing this. I want to respect your time. I've got two more questions for you.
Of course.
Have you ever had a near-death experience? Not where you're like, you know, floating over your body, more like, holy crap, I could have died there.
In Detroit, we were, I'm not sure where we were flying to, but the Red Wings at that point were one of the few teams that had their own plane. And one of the engines went out and we had to have an emergency landing in Cleveland. I think that was the only time I've been in a situation where I thought like, yeah, maybe we could, this could be it. Only time I've ever had an issue on a plane or anything like that. But I think at that point I was so young and like, I guess I didn't really have much to fear. So I wasn't that scared for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, funny, a lot of people have that same sort of feeling at one point in their life in a plane. Like I've had the same thing flying from Vancouver over to Calgary, which is not a very long flight, maybe an hour.
Right.
And same sort of thing. Like, you know, if it drops, the turbulence drop and you're falling in the sky, like 100 meters, if you're not strapped in, you're hitting the, you know, where you're putting your luggage kind of shit. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me wrap it up with probably the toughest one, only because you've probably had a ton of them. Can you nail it down to one thing, a career highlight?
I think it was probably my first NHL game. I mean, I think it's always tough to beat that.
Right.
I think it's a moment where, you know, you're never going to forget that feeling, like winning games and scoring goals, and that stuff can be replicated to a certain extent, but playing your first NHL game, it's one and it's the only one.
It's the only one, right? Yeah. And which team was that?
It was on Detroit. So yeah, I think that's probably, it's a great feeling for any kid. Every kid that ever gets to feel it, it's a pretty special feeling. That's for sure.
I bet.
Definitely.
What was the biggest change of, you know, going from the minors up to the majors? What would you're like, man, this was it the speed? Was it just the game sense? What was the biggest change?
I think the level of passing and how accurate the passing is, primarily in practice. I think that's the big difference. NHL players are great passers. You know, they just make good hard passes, and it actually makes the game easier. It doesn't make it more difficult. It makes it easier. So,
right.
That was one thing that I remember for sure. Everybody can pass. Definitely.
Right on. Sean, thank you again, man, for doing this. You're easy to find online. I'm Sean Avery on both Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see you online. Thanks again, man. I appreciate this.
Okay. Thanks again. Thanks, take care. Todd.
The Toddcast Podcast on toddhancock.ca.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.